Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and thanks for joining us today. And today I'm joined by Pastor Margaret Michael. Pastor Margaret, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me here today.
Thanks for joining me again. And Pastor Margaret, just tell us about what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, you know, we are in the month after Easter. And there's just a few things that I feel like the Lord has shown me during just my study over the last month. And I felt like today I wanted to share a little bit about what he showed me. And we'll start by the way of a devotional today from Oswald Chambers that I think will help us maybe to walk into what the Lord has for us. So I'll just jump right in and read the devotional by Oswald Chambers. And the topic of this devotional is The Way to Permanent Faith. And the scripture that it's coming from is John 16:32. Indeed, the hour is coming that you will be scattered. Jesus was not rebuking the disciples in this passage. Their faith was real, but it was disordered and unfocused, and was not at work in the important realities of life. The disciples were scattered to their own concerns, and they had found interests apart from Jesus Christ. After we have the perfect relationship with God through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, our faith must be exercised in the realities of everyday life. We will be scattered, not into service, but into the emptiness of our lives, where we will see ruin and barrenness. To know what eternal death to God's blessings means. Are we prepared for this? It is certainly not of our own choosing, but God engineers our circumstances to take us there. Until we have been through that experience, our faith is sustained only by feelings and blessings. But once we get there, no matter where God may place us or what inner emptiness we experience, we can praise God that all is well. That is what is meant by faith being exercised in the realities of life. You will leave me alone. Have we been scattered, and have we left Jesus alone by not seeing his providential care for us? Do we not see God at work in our circumstances? Dark times are allowed and come to us through the sovereignty of God. Are we prepared to let God do what he wants with us? Are we prepared to be separated from the outward, evident blessings of God? Until Jesus Christ is truly our Lord, we each have goals of our own which we serve. Our faith is real, but it is not yet permanent. And God is never in a hurry. If we are willing to wait, we will see God pointing out that we have been interested only in his blessings instead of in God himself. The sense of God's blessings is fundamental. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. From John 16:33. Unyielding spiritual fortitude is what we need.
Well, Pastor Margaret, that last part that you read from that devotional from Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, and I believe the date on that is April 4th, which is the day we're doing this recording for Front Porch Talks, and talking about be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And we know there's a lot of troubles in today's world, and we face a lot of hardships. But we also know that Jesus, when he was here on this earth, faced a lot of hardships and even faced death on a cross. And so we know that if he can overcome death on a cross and be raised 3 days later from the grave, that he can also bring us through hard times and will be there to go through those hard times with us. And also to know that one day when we've run the race and finished the race that he has for us, that great is our reward in heaven for those of us who have accepted him as our Savior and accepted him into our lives. We're promised everlasting life.
Yes. And, you know, I think about the disciples who had followed him, and they had heard all of these messages. You know, he had told them. Now, these are words that he had shared with the disciples before he went to the cross. And yet, he was pretty open. He tried to, you know, share with them that things were going to get worse before they got better, but that he did overcome the world. And I think in those moments, as the disciples fled and it just seemed like their world had fallen apart, and I think we all find ourselves in those places where we just, maybe we didn't see something coming, maybe all of a sudden we found ourselves in this place and we wonder, well, Lord, where are you? And it's hard to see his providential care for us, that he really does care about each one of us. And I love when he comes back and he's in the garden and, you know, Mary is there, Mary Magdalene is there, and she's looking for Jesus and the body's gone, the tomb's open, and she's desperate to find her Lord. And that's such a beautiful picture of the way our life should look. You know, she really believed that he was who he said he was. But yet in these moments, even she was confused about what had happened and his body was missing. And so as Jesus come up to her, and of course she first thought that he was the gardener. So we know that he had a bodily form. But he says to her, "Do not touch me." And actually most versions, most translations of the Bible say, "Do not cling to me," but the pure translation of the word is, "Do not touch me." And I've been thinking about that and have done some study on it, because I read over that, it seems like every year, but it's never really hit me like it hit me this year. Why did he say that? Because, you know, 8 days later, he's saying to Thomas, "Hey, you know, look at my side, you know, put your finger and look at the holes in my hands." It was okay for Thomas to touch him. And so why was it not okay for Mary Magdalene? And in doing some research on that, I've learned something that I want to share today. This idea, Jesus went to the cross. He became a sin sacrifice for us. And his death was a sacrifice for our sin, and it symbolized the offering, the sin offering that we read about in the Old Testament. And the duty of the high priest was to present that offering to the Lord. And so if that offering were handled by anyone other than the high priest, then the offering would have been defiled, impure, unacceptable to God. So here is Jesus in the garden. Mary comes up to him, and, you know, when you think somebody's died and all of a sudden they're alive in front of you, probably the first thing you're going to do is give them a big old hug around the neck, right, Grayson?
Yeah, absolutely. It was almost like her eyes were open when she realized who he was, because it's like, sometimes we think, well, how did she not recognize him? She, like, was around him all those days when mm-hmm. he was teaching and all that, but she wasn't looking for him there. She
right.
thought he had died and didn't realize that he had raised from the dead. And so maybe he caught her off guard, so to speak. And like you said, when you see somebody that you're excited to
right.
see, you're not just going to back away from them and not touch them. Your first inclination, like you said, is to give them a big old hug.
Absolutely. You know, he had done such amazing things in her life. She knew him personally as her healer. He had freed her of 7 demons, and she really gave her life to serve him and was one of the scholars at his feet. And so, you know, all of a sudden she's coming at him and he's saying, "Don't touch me." But it was because he had not yet been to the Father to present the offering, the sin offering for you and me and for all of us. He still had that to do. You know, in Jeremiah 29, we read that scripture where God has a plan for us and a hope to give us a future. And as you read down further, it says, "When you seek me with all of your heart, you will be found by me, says the Lord." And I just, in this moment, that scripture reminds me of Mary Magdalene. She was seeking the Lord. She literally was seeking Jesus, not knowing what had happened. and she believed that he was dead. She was looking for his body, but she found Jesus alive and well and was so excited. And Grayson, I know that you have been on the trips to the Holy Land. I've been on trips to the Holy Land, and there's something about being there and kind of getting kind of your grounding in the Word geographically. I heard someone say it went from being two-dimensional to three-dimensional when she was in the Holy Land. Things kind of come alive. And so Jesus did need to ascend to the Father at this point before he come back and appeared to the disciples and to Thomas. But I just believe he really wanted to honor, and this is just my thoughts, nothing but my thoughts about it, but I just believe he wanted to honor Mary Magdalene because she wasn't giving up on this. She was still there, still seeking, and he honored that. And I think he does that for us when we are in the darkest of days. And it just, some days, maybe it feels like all hope is lost. That's when, as we dig in and believe that he is who he says he is, that he can show up for us. So that was just one thing that really stuck out to me this year as I studied through these scriptures, and I'm reading through in a chronological Bible, so getting all of the stories from the Gospels, reading them kind of one after another, and it's been a really rich experience for me. And there was another place in Scripture. I know I've read it, but it was just new to me. And again, this kind of goes back to when we think of being in Israel, and I think we've probably talked about this specific story before on Front Porch Talks, but I think it deserves sharing it again. And Grayson, you know, you've stood there at the Mount of Olives and looked across towards the temple, and, you know, Jesus, let's back up now, before the crucifixion, he's coming in from Bethany. He's just raised Lazarus from the dead. And he says, as the people were along the path, "If you don't praise me, these rocks will cry out." And that was another one I just didn't understand. What does that mean, for rocks to cry out? I mean, I know he's God. He could do whatever he wants. If he wants rocks to cry, they'll cry. So that's just kind of how I've dealt with that. But then when I was there, and when I come across and looked from the Mount of Olives over to Jerusalem, and you realize that that whole hillside is nothing but rocks, but those rocks are really graves. And even at the bottom of that hill, Zechariah, who prophesied about Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey, is buried at the bottom of that hill. And so, in essence, Pastor Carey shared the story before, but he was saying, if you all who are here with me don't praise me, I'll raise some people that can and will praise me, you know, and worship me. And he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. They knew he could do it. And so he says that they thought that he would come in, take up an earthly kingdom, and he didn't do that. And things went downhill for him from there to the cross. However, there is another scripture that I want to share with you, and I'm sure that those listening have read it and know it's there, but it just popped out at me this year, all new. And that is in Matthew 27, and I'll start in verse 51. Now, Jesus, and I'll back up to verse 50, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. What do you think about that?
That would be overwhelming, I think, for the people in the town, and especially the religious leaders who knew that, like you said, Jesus had the power to raise people from the dead. He rose Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
And, you know, after the curtain in the temple was torn, all these other believers were raised from the grave.
Right.
And were witnessing, telling of God's greatness. And you mentioned Zechariah, how he had prophesied mm-hmm. about Jesus and how he was buried mm-hmm. there below the Mount of Olives. Mm-hmm. Like you said, certainly he could have literally meant the rocks. He could have made the rocks. But we know that because we've been to the Holy Land that there are graves there. And basically what he was saying was, I'll raise these people up from the grave mm-hmm. and they'll praise me if you don't praise me. And, and so they didn't want that to happen again. They didn't want more resurrections of people from the grave and more chaos for them.
Yes. But, you know, just thinking about that, that veil being torn from the top to the bottom in the temple, and all of that law was fulfilled. And now, those people that had done everything they could to follow the law were brought to life. I just cannot even fathom what that must have been like. And it goes on to say, when the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. And then it says, many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So Mary Magdalene, she witnessed that. I don't know where the disciples were at that point, but they had already taken off. But she was there, and she always stuck, it seems, pretty close by, and he came back to her. And I just have to make that point again, that he came back because she was seeking him. She had not given up. Even if it was just to find his body, she was there to do whatever she could for the Lord. She wanted him to be respected, his body to be respected. And so there's so many stories that we could probably tell about being in the Middle East and how things kind of come alive like that when you're there and you're in the geography of it. I think that as I asked the questions from Oswald Chambers at the end of that devotional, have we been scattered and have we left Jesus alone by not seeing his providential care for us? He was in the middle of doing the most amazing thing anyone could ever do for us, to be our sin offering. And they thought they had been deserted. And it's easy, I think, for us, because we can't see him, it's easy for us to find ourselves in a place where we just can't believe that he could be at work in our circumstances because they are so bleak. But what is it that Pastor Carey says? When nothing's happening,
something's happening.
Absolutely. We've both heard those things before, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And we know that when our situations are hopeless, that's when Jesus gets the most glory.
Right.
When it's the hardest situation, that's, I've heard Dad say this before, and I don't know where he heard it, but that's when Jesus shows up and shows off.
Right. Absolutely. That is so true.
And Pastor Margaret, there's no more hopeless a situation than that of Mary Magdalene or the disciples who had just lost one of their closest friends, and not just one of their closest friends, but also their Savior, their Lord. And So if he can bring hope out of that situation, he can bring hope out of any situation that we're facing in life.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. But even for the guards, you know, they were told to seal the tomb. I mean, they were doing everything they could to keep him down. Anything that they could. They had seen a few things that had happened. They actually had witnessed these people coming to life. And Pilate said in Matthew 27, verse 65, "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the tomb and posting the guard. I mean, they were doing everything they could to keep Jesus down, to make this situation go away. And when the Lord is in it, people could do whatever they want, but Jesus won the fight. He claimed victory over death, hell, and the grave. I mean, so be encouraged. You know, I think that's the idea today is no matter how dark our world may seem, Jesus is present with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. When he ascended into heaven and he sent his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that is available to us. We do not have to walk alone today, but if we believe on him and ask him to come into our life, not only will he do that, but he sends his Holy Spirit to live in us. And I'm so encouraged today, and I hope this brings encouragement to you where you are today, because as much as he loved the disciples and he cared for them, he cares just as much for you, Grayson, for me, and for everyone listening today. He cares. He cares where we are. He cares what we're going through. He cares about us. And my prayer is that you will be encouraged today to continue to seek him. And I believe there may be a few more available seats on a trip to Israel coming up this fall. That's something that maybe sounds, as we've been talking, maybe you've thought, man, maybe I would like to go to Israel. There's certainly an opportunity for that today.
Yeah, Pastor Margaret, and the dates I'm getting ready to mention are on a website, and I'll give that as well. But it's this coming fall, October the 11th. I think they leave that afternoon from Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, and they'll return sometime the day of October 19th. And the website is heartsaflame.org. Let me say that again. That's heartsaflame.org. And my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis, leads those trips along with his trip planner, Steve Thigpen, who attends our church here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And you can contact Steve through that website. It's kind of a first come, first serve up to a certain amount. I know the numbers fluctuate, yes. And it's they can work with that. But they can let you know the availability on spots, like you said. I believe there's still some available spots. So, yeah, heartsaflame.org if you're interested in that trip, October 11th through the 19th to the Holy Land.
Yes, it will change your life. You will read the Bible. You will understand so much more. And just to be able to walk where Jesus walked, to go and see an empty tomb where he once was laid, it doesn't get any better than that.
And Pastor Margaret, I know me and Dad shared this a couple weeks ago on Easter, but really we can't put it into words
right. How
great it is. But when you go over there, they show you the tomb that they think it is, but there's other tombs around there that it could have been. But the good news is they're all empty.
That's exactly right.
And Dad said, I don't know how many years ago it was, they had an English guide, and the guide said, "The best part is you have come all the way across the world to see absolutely nothing."
And that's good news, because he has risen. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us today, desiring that we continue to seek him until he returns or he takes us home.
Amen, Pastor Margaret. And it's all true. And thank you for joining me on Front Porch Talks today.
It's been a real joy and a pleasure to be here, Grayson. Today I would like to share some scripture. It's actually Ephesians 3, and it's the Apostle Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church. And I think it's just appropriate today. And this is my prayer for every person listening today. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ever ask or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, and thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We'll leave you with a song, Kim McLean, and In His Presence. We pray that today's broadcast at the conclusion will have been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
In his presence, fullness of joy, at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine. I am his. In his presence, fullness of joy. In his presence, fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forever. Oh, what fellowship divine. I am his and he is mine. In his presence, fullness of joy. Oh, what fellowship divine.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.